From the American Academy of Dermatology, welcome to Dialogues in Dermatology. I'm Dr. Ben Stoff, Editor-in-Chief. Thanks for tuning in.
We're all trying to find the right balance between saving time and providing the best care for our patients. That's why we're excited to tell you about Visual DX. Whether you're trying to solve a challenging case, engage patients by showing them medical imagery that looks like them, or look up the latest treatment options, Visual DX is here to help. Your peers have said recently that you can just see the sense of satisfaction and understanding from the patient while using Visual DX. Try Visual DX for free for 7 days, then get 50% off a yearly subscription. Visit visualdx.com/AAD to get the AAD discount. That's visualdx.com/AAD to get started today.
Hello, this is Dr. Lilia Correa-Selm. I am an associate professor at the University of South Florida, and I am also a member of the cutaneous oncology team at Moffitt Cancer Center, all in Tampa, Florida. I'm also a section editor for the practice management section of Dialogues in Dermatology. Today, we're going to talk about a very important subject for us physicians, is physicians' burnout and wellness guidance. The term burnout has gained widespread recognition, particularly amid the COVID-19 pandemic. A recent national survey on burnout among physicians revealed a significant increase, with nearly 63% reporting symptoms at the end of 2021, up from 38% in 2020. Professional fulfillment scores also sharply declined from 40% to 22.4%, and the willingness of physicians to pursue the medical profession again dropped to 57.5%, down from 72.2% in 2020. Burnout is not a transient stress, but a chronic state of emotional, mental, and physical exhaustion, often accompanied by cynicism and detachment. Both individual and systemic level factors contribute to burnout, with unique challenges in dermatology, where high patient demands, administrative burdens, and emotional impacts intersect. The transition from burnout to well-being is imperative, involving collaborative efforts from physicians, organizations, and policymakers to cultivate support, resilience, purpose, self-awareness, social connections, and sustainable changes for a healthier professional and personal life. Today, we have Dr. Ving Cheng, a board-certified dermatologist, fellowship-trained Mohs surgeon, and a member of the AAD Practice Management Committee. Dr. Cheng is the founding physician of Vanguard Skin Specialist and Dermatology and Plastic Surgery Practice with 8 locations in Colorado. Vanguard is a physician-led practice dedicated to serving patients daily and changing the lives of those in underserved communities here and across the globe. Vanguard has won numerous workplace awards because of their unique culture and their mission. Welcome, Dr. Cheng.
Thank you, Lila. It's a pleasure to be here.
Dr. Cheng, please tell us a little bit about yourself and your practice setting.
Sure. I was born in Vietnam, and I came to this country as a refugee when I was 3 years old. I grew up as one of 11 kids in a blue-collar family in Arkansas. And when my family arrived as refugees, we couldn't speak English. We didn't have much, but we had self-determination. And I think that's the most important thing for anybody to have, whether you're a refugee or you're a dermatologist. And because of the incredible opportunities in this country and the generosity that I have received, I've been able to be a Mohs surgeon today. And so every day that I'm at work, I'm grateful for the privilege of just doing what I do. It's a gift that's been given to me by the sacrifices and investments of just so many people, my teachers, my attending, my counselors, everyone who invested in me, that allowed me to become the person I am today. And so I think that for me, my life story is just a constant reminder that individual acts of kindness and generosity and an outlook of optimism can really change the lives of others and can also change the world. That's what motivates me every day. And that's why I believe that what I do every day is not just a job. It's a calling. And I believe that we're all called to make a positive impact on our patients, our community, and our world.
Fantastic. Thank you for sharing a little bit about yourself. Now, to dig into our topic for today, can you give us a brief background about physician burnout and why it is such an important topic for discussion?
I'll be happy. I think that the one thing we all need to recognize about burnout is that it's not an issue of working too hard, because doctors are the most resilient people on the planet. We know how to work hard, and I believe that some of the most satisfying things in our lives come from working hard. And so I think burnout happens when we are prevented from practicing medicine the way that we believe it should be practiced. Another word that describes it is called moral injury, because I believe that we all went into medicine with an ideal of how medicine should be practiced. But over time, as we're faced with reality, we recognize that there are things that get in the way that prevents us from serving our patients the way that we want to serve them. Furthermore, the practice of medicine has changed so much now that it's become very complex. And so I think that the solution to burnout, if I were to simplify it down to two words, is purpose and culture. Purpose and culture. And I think it's really, we need to look at who we are as human beings. We're more than physiological beings who need food, water, shelter, and calories, right? We're also social beings. We have to interact with other people. And so that's where culture comes in. It's who you interact with every single day at the workplace. On top of that, we're a moral beings. We believe in ideals of truth and justice and beauty and compassion. And so we need to embrace all these facets of what makes us human. And we're able to do that in a workplace by focusing on culture and purpose. Culture is basically who are we doing it with, and purpose is basically why are we doing what we're doing.
Can't agree more. Now, how has the experience of physician burnout evolved over the years? And have there been any notable shifts, especially in the context of recent global events, such as the COVID-19 pandemic?
I think, unfortunately, it has gotten worse every year. I've been in private practice now for about 15 years now, and I think COVID has made it so bad, because every single day when we go to work, there's so many other distractions that we have to deal with that may get in the way of what we want to do as dermatologists. And so we just need to recognize that that's just the trajectory of medicine, and that we need to just focus on what is it that we are able to control and what is it that we cannot control, and to really recognize that and to focus on what is it that we can control. And I believe that every single physician, we are capable of controlling and shaping the culture of a workplace. I think that it comes from our interaction with everyone that we come across in the workplace. We're also in control of the purpose of organization, either through leading it or through inspiring it or shaping it. But I think that we're able to shape those two, that we're able to prevent burnout and really have a fulfilling career.
Absolutely. In your opinion, what are the key contributing factors to physician burnout, both at the individual level and within the broader healthcare system? Furthermore, talk a little bit about how burnout is unique in dermatology. And as a fellow Mohs surgeon, I have to ask, also for us that do surgery.
I think that the factors are immense. It's coming at us from every single direction, because we just live in a very noisy world. And it's not just in medicine. It's all around us. It's social media. My children are facing it right now. We just live in a very busy and noisy world that's just constantly trying to get our attention and distract us and just leave us empty at the end of the day. And so I think the key comes back to how do we focus on what is within our control. And so I've accepted that I can't control many of the factors that take place every day in medicine, but I can always control how I treat my patients, how I treat my staff members, and then to always never forget that it's a sacred obligation that I have towards my patient based upon our patient-doctor relationship. And so at our medical practice, for example, one of the things that's very important to me because of my own personal background is that we take care of vulnerable patients. And so we choose to accept Medicaid and Medicare, and we choose to go serve patients in underserved areas because that's really important to me. And so even though that may not make sense financially, we find a way to do that. And so in doing so, I believe that that is what allows me to feel that every single day when I go to work, I'm doing something important. And that right there is more important than all those other distractions that come our way. And so that's our purpose. I think that workplace culture is the other one. And I think that as physicians, we have been trained to think about individual performance. All of us got into medical school and then got into residency and then got to fellowship because we're the top of our class, right? We were excellent and we ran faster than others. We worked harder than others. We scored higher than others. But the fact is that medicine is a team sport. And so we need to be able to practice medicine that way. And we do that by learning how to lead and inspire our team. And that's where culture comes from. It comes back down to how we treat one another. And it's been a humbling experience for me because when I first started, I didn't recognize that. I just thought that I had to get the best training in the world and I'll be okay. But it took me many years to realize that my experience in the workplace is determined by the health of my team that works with me in serving our patients. So we have to create a healthy workplace environment. We need to create a place where everyone is seen and respected and that we all belong. I think that burnout is often caused by a sense of isolation. And now more than ever before, I think isolation is something that is very common. And so if we can create a workplace where people feel that they belong, it's a very powerful, energizing force that can help us to get through the day and enjoy it. And so in our practice, you know, I think that there are lots of different ways to define a culture, but our practice, we have determined that we're going to commit to three values. It's integrity, humility, and excellence. And so when we recruit medical providers or when we hire, you know, entry-level staff, we all come from different backgrounds and different training, but we all must commit to these three core values, integrity, humility, and excellence. And by doing that consistently and seriously and by modeling it and keeping people accountable for it, it creates a beautiful culture. So I love coming to work every day.
So true. Now, what role do administrative tasks and regulatory burdens play in physician burnout? And how can these aspects be streamlined to allow for more focus on patient care and well-being?
Very good. So my philosophy is to do absolutely nothing that somebody else can do. That is it. If there's someone else who could do administrative tasks, then I would delegate and I would empower and I would recruit and train them to do it. And so anything that I do not have to do as a doctor, I will have someone else do it. So that's the key. And even if it means that they don't do it perfectly, I'm okay with that. I can accept that. I will have someone else do something at 80% of what I can do. I will let them do that. And so that's the challenge that we have a hard time doing if we're perfectionists, where we believe that everything has to be perfect. And if so, then you won't be able to do much and you'll be just flooded with so many administrative tasks. And so I always focus on delegating and empowering. But the key, though, it goes back to culture and purpose that we don't want just to have anyone do it. We want to hire excellent staff members who believe in our culture and believe in our mission to join us. And over time, I have now staff members who do these tasks so much better than I can. And in fact, they do all these tasks that I don't even know that are being done. And I think that just takes a lot of time, too. But it's actually beautiful. I show up and everyone has done everything for me. I would show up, I walked in, and there's a patient in my exam room, and it's just beautiful.
Fantastic. Now, in terms of self-care and personal resilience, what strategies do you recommend for physicians to maintain their mental and emotional health amidst the demands of the profession?
I think that we need to, first of all, embrace our humanity. And that comes back to the fact that we are more than physiological beings. We are social animals. We must interact with other people every single day at our workplace, not with just our patients, but with our staff members. And so our interactions must be healthy. It must be based upon trust. It must be based on respect. So that's why we must have a healthy culture, because we're social animals. We're also moral beings. We believe in wrong. We have a set of ethics. We believe in compassion. We believe in justice. And we should never compromise that. Because when we compromise that, then we start to lose a part of what makes us human. And that's the beginning of burnout. So burnout, again, is not working hard. It has nothing to do with how hard I work. It has everything to do with, do I believe in what I'm doing? And do I belong with and trust the people that I'm working with? So culture and purpose. So those are the key that I've learned. I also think that above all else is that we must embrace our agency. And again, agency is basically self-determination. And so this is something that I learned as a young child when I was a refugee from Vietnam, that I can't control many of the things that take place in this world, but I can control my future. I can decide how to respond to my circumstances, even though I didn't create the circumstances. So as physicians, it's more important than ever that we acknowledge that there are things within the healthcare system that isn't right, but we can choose to respond to it, and we choose to shape it in a way that will be more compatible with our ideals. And this all takes effort. You think about the health of an individual, a marathon runner or a triathlete, it doesn't happen by itself, right? No one just wakes up and automatically they run the marathon. If you neglect your health, we see what happens. That's the second law of thermodynamics. And so whether it's our personal health or the health of our organization, it requires intensity, focus. It requires a deliberate commitment every single day. We must always be intentional in everything that we do. We must put in effort, and then we must play the long game. I think that's the thing. Sometimes we are to be discouraged by things that happen every day, but we must always step back and think about the long game. How do we win in the long term? That's why, for me, I'm so grateful that these decisions many years ago. So just like our personal health is not going to happen overnight, in the health of the culture of a workplace, it would not change overnight either. We just got to think, we got to play the long game.
Now, taking all this into account, how can collaboration between healthcare professionals, organizations, and policymakers be improved and create a more comprehensive and effective approach to combating physician burnout on a systemic level?
That's a great question. I think there are big issues at the federal level that individuals like myself cannot change, but we could do it together as an organization. That's why I love the AAD. I love all the advocacy that we're doing. I love all the work that we're doing at the high level. But I could focus on what we can do at the local level as a medical provider. And in all that we do, whether it's local or statewide or national, we must always protect the patient-doctor relationship. That is the one common thing that we should never, ever compromise. We should never give up. It's a patient-doctor relationship. And so at every single level, at every single fight that comes up, we must protect providers' autonomy and our ability to make our decisions as physicians. And so just protect autonomy of physicians, because we all came into this field swearing the oath that we will serve our patients. So we must do everything to remove anything that gets in the way of that. And I think that whether we are a doctor at the local level or at the higher level, I think that every single day we have a choice to make. We can always choose goodness. We can always choose kindness. We can always choose optimism. The opposite of that is cynicism and apathy. That's what happens when someone burns out. But I think that we have the agency to choose to have optimism. And I think that we should embrace our agency, because that is what makes us uniquely human among the animal kingdom. And so we should never settle. We should never settle for a job, whether you're a resident, graduating, looking for a job. Never settle for a job. Never settle, just to survive. We should choose to flourish, because we all deserve that.
Absolutely. This has been such a great discussion. Is there anything else you would like to add before we close?
Sure. I just want to thank the Practice Management Committee for doing an incredible job. I think that the AAD website, AAD.org, has incredible resources there that could be helpful for anyone, whether you're starting out or you've been in practice for decades. And so please visit the website, click on the Practice Management tab. We also would love to have feedback as well. Let us know how we could better serve our community, because our goal is to help all of us flourish and to find joy in the practice of medicine.
Dr. Chong, thank you so much for this insightful interview. And to our listeners, I hope you will learn as much as I did during it.
Thank you so much. It's such a pleasure. If you have any questions or feedback, please feel free to email us at practicecenter@aad.org. We look forward to hearing from you.
We're all trying to find the right balance between saving time and providing the best care for our patients. That's why we're excited to tell you about Visual DX. Whether you're trying to solve a challenging case, engage patients by showing them medical imagery that looks like them, or look up the latest treatment options, Visual DX is here to help. Your peers have said recently that you can just see the sense of satisfaction and understanding from the patient while using Visual DX. Try Visual DX for free for 7 days, then get 50% off a yearly subscription. Visit visualdx.com/AAD to get the AAD discount. That's visualdx.com/AAD to get started today. Thanks again for tuning in to another edition of Dialogues in Dermatology. For more dialogues, subscribe to us through the website of the American Academy of Dermatology, then link your subscription through your favorite podcast app. Remember, the subscription is free for residents. New podcasts are released each week in addition to free special bonus episodes. You can also listen to dialogues online through the AAD website. Thanks again for listening.